Here we go. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast, where we share stories of personal transformation and life lessons through our experiences of traveling and exploring the world. Travel is the ultimate accelerator for personal growth, and it can be the root catalyst for the pivots and plot twists we make in our lives. I'm your host, Kelly Tolliday, and it's my mission to inspire you to live life to its fullest, travel with an open mind and heart, and let the world show you a new perspective. I'm so grateful you're here with us today, so let's dive right in. Happy exploring. All right, here we go. Welcome to the Transform with Travel podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Tolliday, and I am so excited to welcome Carly Jean Wright to our podcast today. Carly and I, we have been connected now for a couple years since I gave birth to my first daughter. My postpartum doula at the time was like, you need to follow Carly. She has the most amazing content for postpartum support. And I hadn't really seen anything out there for postpartum support in the real and honest way that you were sharing. So I immediately followed you, and then we connected through DMs and stayed in contact. And you even did an interview for my private coaching clients in our online course talking about postpartum support and somatic healing and emotional regulation, which we're going to get a little bit into later today. So I'm so excited to welcome you onto the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and chat all things emotional regulation, traveling, all of the things.
Yeah, all the fun things. So for those listening who don't know Carly, she is a somatic and energetic healing facilitator for moms and women navigating life's biggest transitions. Carly supports her clients in navigating connection to their intuition, their bodies, and their lives. She's a fierce advocate for postpartum mental health and isn't afraid to have the raw, authentic conversations about the reality of motherhood. When she's not supporting her clients, Carly soaks up all of sunny San Diego has to offer with her husband and four-year-old son. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
So I'd love for just to hear a little bit of how you got so involved with postpartum mental support. Why did this become such a passion for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been working with kids and families for 17 years now, which feels like a really long time. But 4 years ago, when I had my son, I was hit like a ton of bricks with postpartum depression and postpartum rage. And I felt, even though I'd been working in a mental health field at that time for, you know, 13 years, that I didn't see enough people talking about what that actual transition was going to look like. We prepared so much for labor, for birth, for preparing our home. And then I was so surprised with how much my own identity, my relationship changed, and it felt like the rug was really pulled out under me. So I, after like having all of these like quiet conversations in my DMs with other moms who are like also experiencing or also had experienced what I was kind of talking about and starting to slowly share about like, hey, was breastfeeding also hard for you? Or am I really struggling with this? Or, you know, I don't feel sad. I'm having these really big bursts of anger. Has anyone else experienced that? I was just like dropping these little seeds, and slowly my DMs started filling up with a lot of other moms in my own family included that were like, yeah, we experienced this, or oh my gosh, I'm going through this right now. And so it felt like there was this secrecy behind the actual transition to motherhood that nobody was talking about, but everybody was struggling with. And I felt like, let's bring that conversation to the forefront so that you feel less alone, because the struggles are going to be there regardless. Motherhood is challenging. But when you're doing it in a way that feels like you are alone or you should be ashamed of the challenges you're having, it makes it so much harder.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that I appreciated so much about your content. It was the vulnerability about the conversations that people weren't having, specifically around postpartum rage, because that was something that I had felt just this. I never really felt angry throughout my life. I'd get frustrated and I'd get irritated, but the I want to punch a hole through the wall rage that would come was scary. And I was just like, who is this person? But no one was talking about it at all. There was conversations around postpartum depression and anxiety, but no one was talking about the spectrum of anxiety that ended up coming out as rage. So I really appreciated that conversation around just being able to have those open conversations. And I know that you've done coaching with moms around the country. You have a journal, the Vibrant Mama Journal. I know that you do a lot of work within this space within your own local community. So it's so appreciated by so many people. And yeah, just really happy to be having another mama warrior out there helping moms all around the country. So a lot of what you speak about on your content and with your clients is about finding yourself in motherhood again and really finding that identity. Because as you mentioned, you felt like you lost yourself a bit. You weren't sure who you were anymore. And that can be really overwhelming for women who feel like they've lived their whole adult life and now they have absolutely no idea what makes them happy anymore, what brings them bliss. They feel like it's everything in their life is just transactional with their partner, with their child. So what was that like for you in terms of like being more comfortable with who you are as a mother, but also as a woman? Like, what was that journey for you?
Yeah, I think, gosh, everything turning into something transactional is so spot on because it shifts your whole life completely. And I think as someone who, for me personally, has always been very ambitious, I've always either worked multiple jobs or had businesses, and I didn't realize how much my identity had been wrapped into my career and all the things that I was doing for other people until I was forced to slow way down. And, you know, after about a month, I think, of being postpartum, I was like, I'm just going to hop right back into it. I'm just going to pretend like I am still the same person. I'm just going to keep trucking forward. I taught at like a local yoga festival. I led like a big meditation class and I started taking on private clients again for energy work like right away because I was so disconnected and so fearful of what was that transition actually like. It is so scary and disorienting to actually be faced with yourself for the first time in a very raw, real way, because kids will shine a mirror on you in all of the ways you didn't realize you needed to look at yourself. What do I like right now? What brings me joy? What brings me pleasure? What does life look like when I slow down? I don't think I've really ever had a slow pace in my adult life until I became a mom, and I was really forced to slow way down because my body checked out. And then my mind was like, oh, Sam, we're going to check out too. And I think I was about 5 or 6 months postpartum when it felt like I had come out from underwater. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is really my child I'm parenting. This is my baby. I'm not like watching this baby for someone else. I am fully in this experience. If I want to be the parent that I want to be, I actually need to take care of myself. I need to get to know myself in this phase of life. So I started like dating myself, for lack of a better phrase.
Oh, I love
that. It's something I work with my clients on too, like small little ways that you can start to have loving acts of kindness towards yourself. In those early weeks and months, most of it was, I mean, really taking care of your basic needs, showering, making sure you're eating, nourishing food, stepping outside to see the sunlight. I think when I was like really in the thick of it, one of my friends had said, even if you just walk to your mailbox every day, make sure you're seeing the sun, make sure you're getting outside. And, you know, fortunately, I live in San Diego and it's very easy to get out into the sun on a pretty routine, regular basis. But I think setting that foundation of those little tiny acts of kindness to myself added up to, okay, today I'm going to go to a coffee shop by myself and I'm going to treat myself to a latte that I haven't enjoyed in a long time, or I'm going to sit and read a chapter in a book out in public and actually feel like I am a human being and not just a mom who is trying to survive this really challenging phase of life. And what it revealed to me was some things I didn't really enjoy anymore, and that's okay. And it also connected me to my humanness. I think, I don't know if you had this experience, but motherhood and that transition was so challenging. And
your life slows down so much. And then it was like looking at everyone else thinking, you're just going about your day-to-day life. Like my whole world shifted overnight and everyone else is just living their life. And it's very disorienting to be in that phase. And so when you can connect with, and this was what helped me and continues to help me as I transition through different stages of motherhood, connect to my own humanness first in this phase of where I'm at so that I can be a more present parent.
Yeah, 100%. I can definitely relate to that. I found the slowdown really hard. And even with my second, I think she was like 8 weeks and I was like off already leading a retreat again. Like I was like, yeah. I have a really hard time. And I know you talk a lot about that overcoming perfectionism, that good girl mentality, that good girl upbringing. Mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of moms, a lot of women can relate to. So yeah, I definitely relate to that. And I also had a very difficult time in that transition. I think as well, it was around 6 or 7 months where I was like, oh, I'm a mom. And then I really don't think it was until like 1 year, maybe 12 to 18 months with my first, where I turned around and I was like, oh, okay, I actually feel like I'm confident in this role now. And people just expect it to be overnight. They expect their bond with their baby to be overnight. And there can be a lot of cognitive dissonance between not having that perfect connection or feeling like you feel really cemented in your role as a mom. One thing for me that helped a lot is taking little breaks to travel with my child, to travel alone, not super far away, but at least going away for a weekend or having something to look forward to. I don't know about you, but I think Layla was maybe, my oldest was maybe 3 months old and I had a really hard day with her. And I was like, I booked a trip to Mexico like 2 months later. I was like, I just need something to look forward to. I need something. And travel to me was what helps me find myself.
And so something that you've been talking a lot about on your Instagram account and on your, and all through your content is around really valuing play and rest in motherhood and giving yourself that space, that permission slip to find things that are giving you and making you feel joy, and also doing that with your child as well. And so that's something that I see a lot through your account. Can you talk a little bit about how impactful that's been for you to carve out space of rest and play and fun, not just with your son, but also for yourself?
Yeah, I think play is such an undervalued skill, especially for adults, because we're so tied into, you know, what has to get done during the day? What are our obligations to our families, to our careers, to all the things, all the directions that we're being pulled in as moms, as parents, that we think of something often that play is something for our kids to occupy themselves and not something that we actually just intrinsically need as humans. And when you've experienced periods of postpartum depression or any sort of like mental health challenges in motherhood, it's often focused on like, let's get to the root of your trauma. Let's dive in. Let's like process all of the pain and the things that you've experienced. But then on the flip side, there's nothing to balance that out to really help you connect with your joy, your passion, your pleasure, your playful side. And it can feel really clunky if that's something you have not connected with in a long time. And play can be triggering for parents because it can be very overstimulating. It can be noisy, messy. If you never had a great model of what play was as a kid, it can be really hard as an adult to settle into playing and having just like moments of levity in your day. But it's so important. It's so important to help us recharge our batteries as parents, because otherwise you'll find yourself going through the motions of the day. And the day turns into a week, turns into months, and you realize that like time is flying by and you're watching your own experience of motherhood instead of actually being in it. So little ways to do that is finding, you know, making small things fun and adventurous, whether it's like playing out in the garden if you have one, or coloring, depending on what, you know, your what age and stage your child is in. But really prioritizing having little moments of fun in what seemingly feels like the mundane moments of every day, whether it's like just getting down on the floor with your kids and playing whatever game they're playing, allowing them to lead you in play so that you can learn from your kids as much as they're learning from us. I found that when I started shifting my perspective, when we were out at a park or going to the aquarium or something, and really starting to see the world through my son's eyes and how he was experiencing things, it made me feel like, yeah, this is a very important piece of my own healing. And I'm having fun again. I think it feels overwhelming, right? When you're like, oh my gosh, I've spent all this time healing and now I'm having fun. Like, I don't know. But it's so important to be able to make space for your own joy. Like, it's a valuable thing. I think we like maybe just count it as it's not productive. It's not giving us necessarily a return right away. But it's so important to make space for play and joy and levity in your day to day.
Yeah, 100%. And that's something that we can learn so much from our kids, is how to lean into that childlike wonder and just being so enthralled with the present moment. They're not thinking about what's going to happen next or what happened before. They're totally 100% there in the present moment. And that's something that we can continue to learn from them.
This episode is brought to you by Child & Company. Child & Company is South Florida's first family-friendly office space, featuring private offices, a professional content creation studio, and childcare for hybrid work and work-from-home parents, located in Boca Raton. Child & Company is founded on the belief that you shouldn't have to choose between raising a family and being career-driven. Their core mission is to create an environment where family and work can exist in harmony. The best part to me as a mom is that you can pop in and breastfeed your baby or have lunch with your toddler if you like, and then pop back into your office for your Zoom meeting, which I think is so key, especially for newborn moms going back to work. It's the perfect transition from emerging out of the newborn bubble and getting back to the business you love. Child & Company provides you the flexibility to work in a beautifully designed, ergonomic private office with insanely good Wi-Fi connection and soundproofing while just being steps away from your child. They have monthly themes that they base their lessons on, like exploring the animals of the Amazon, which I obviously love when children get opportunities to learn more about the world and build a sense of curiosity. Child & Company offers weekly and monthly classes and events like Zumbini, music class for babies, mindful cooking for toddlers, big kid yoga, and mindful mama community events, and so much more. I've been a member since February 2023, utilizing their private offices and their professional content creation studio. Child & Company is where all of the magic happens for this podcast. Their beautiful recording studio is soundproofed with state-of-the-art equipment, microphones, lighting, and cameras. So you can record your podcast, course content, meditation clips, and anything else you might want to record for your business. The Child & Company team truly feels like family. They are an extension of my team over here at Rising Nature Retreats and the Transform with Travel podcast, as well as an extension of my own family. If you're local to Palm Beach and Broward County, do yourself a favor and check out Child & Company. Visit www.childandcompany.com or head over to Instagram at Child & Company.
G'day mates from the land down under. Just kidding. I'm right here in South Florida enjoying a true blue Aussie coffee, pastry, and meat pie at my absolute favorite cafe here in South Florida, Bite and Coffee. That's B-Y-T-E and Coffee, located in Lighthouse Point. Bite & Coffee is owned and managed by the absolute best couple from Down Under, Dan and Kat, who moved to South Florida from Melbourne, Australia with the dream of bringing the incredible Aussie cafe culture to the States. As someone who's lived in Australia for 5 years, I surely do miss my Aussie flat white coffee, brekkie buns, and sausage rolls. But what I miss more is the sense of community when you step inside your favorite cafe. You know that feeling when you walk in and they already know your order and it's ready to go? Yeah, that kind of feeling. Bite & Coffee brings the good vibes, delicious food and coffee, and the true sense of family. I can bring my little girls for breakfast and know that they are welcomed. If you're living in South Florida or just visiting and passing by, I highly recommend heading over to Bite & Coffee and grabbing a coffee with your breakfast or lunch, or even checking out their incredible wine and beer selection with a delicious charcuterie board at night. It's the perfect spot for a catch up with a friend or a business meeting. As a special gift to listeners, when you order at Bite, be sure to mention Transform with Travel for 10% off your order. So go ahead and check it out. Bite and Coffee, located in Lighthouse Point.
I love how you say taking
little moments of time to have pockets of joy or finding little activities. And I'd love to talk about this concept of micro adventures or mini adventures. I think that's something that I see on social media that you do quite a lot with your son. You don't have to go, you know, to a different country or even to a different state. There's so much wonder and joy and adventure that can happen in your backyard. So what's that been like for you to go on these little micro adventures with your son and feel like that wanderlust gets satiated just by going to a new park or, like you said, playing in the garden?
Yeah, I mean, kids lean into their natural mode of communication is playfulness, and that's how they learn. That's how they communicate with us. And, you know, we're just kind of in a phase of life where we have a lot of like obligation travel that we do, but not a lot of space and time for like fun adventure travel right now. And so in the last year, we've moved a little further away from the beach. We're in a more like woodsy community, for lack of better terms. And there's some really cool trails around our house. And my son is so great at making everything into a game. And so it feels like, all right, well, let's roll with that in the afternoon, you know, routine when he's transitioning home from school and taking his monster trucks to go to like a hill that's behind our house and having these like fun races, or let's go on a nature scavenger hunt and see how many different types of leaves we can find. Or so it's, and activities like that hit so many different modes of your own emotional regulation because you're grounding by being outside. The neighborhood I live in, there are tons of eucalyptus trees. And so it just like smells really fragrant, and you can just kind of like, it's that healing. You're connecting with your child. You're feeling playful. You're being observant. You're learning. It's like hitting on all of these things. And it's really fun to incorporate that as part of the routine, because then everybody's sleeping better at the end of the night when you have a little bit of like outdoor time after dinner or after the school routine is done. Or whatever kind of your afternoon looks like. And it's just feeling excited about life. I think the last few years have been so heavy on so many people. And a lot of us are in this phase of, well, what's next? And we're being hit constantly with just, you know, stress and taking in information at rates that humans are not really set up to process on a day-to-day basis, that like, how can we get excited by life again? Let's look up new parks or new hiking trails near us. Let's look up, I mean, even if it's just an hour drive outside of San Diego, how can we make this fun? And we've always had these like micro adventure relationships between my son and I. You know, when I was really coming out of that postpartum, it was, I'm going to walk in a new place every day in San Diego. So we'd go to the bay, or we'd go to the boardwalk, or a different beach, a different trail. Just, it started as a way for me just to get out of the house and just to like get some fresh air and sunshine. And now having him be an active participant, and he gets some control and say in how his day goes, it just is so great to break up the day in that way.
Yeah, I really love the concept of a nature scavenger hunt. My daughter's kind of at the age where that's a perfect activity for her. So I'm definitely going to take that with us. And I really loved when you said how to make life fun again and enjoyable again. I think it's really easy to get into the slog of a day-to-day routine, or that everything feels hard and everything is hard. And don't get me wrong, like the world is really heavy. Like a lot of the times the world can feel very heavy, but we have the choice to look at it in a different way and say, okay, well, how can I make this fun? I've chosen this life to some capacity. I've chosen this life. So how can I make this fun? How can I make this relationship with my son fun? And the idea of micro adventures is really accessible for a lot of people. You mentioned emotional regulation, not just for the child, but also for the adult being outside, getting a lot of sensory input. And that's a question that we get a lot about traveling with families, and honestly, just traveling by yourself, even solo travels, traveling as an adult. It's traveling is not as easy as it used to be pre-pandemic. And it is, there's a lot going on in the world politically. There's a lot going on in the world climate-wise, on top of all the health stuff going on. So it's an anxious time to travel. for, let's just say, we can start with just an individual, not even just with a family, but for an individual who's experiencing some anxiety around traveling, not just getting on a plane, but even just leaving their city or their hometown or their state, what are some of those emotional regulation tools or perhaps somatic tools? Maybe you can go a little bit into somatic, what that is actually. But what are some tools that people can use if they are feeling anxious when they're thinking about stepping outside of their comfort zone?
Yeah, I love that question. And, you know, traveling, as much fun as it is, you know, the fun part is like once you're arrived at your destination and you're settled into wherever you're staying and you're breathing the fresh air of a new country or a new place that you're in and like really getting excited to soak up that experience. And the planning can be really fun, but sometimes getting there is exhausting. And you're in an environment where like everybody you meet in an airport is like stressed out. And travel has changed a lot in the last few years with that. So it can be a very ungrounding experience. And so there's simple tools like mints are like the number one thing. Carry with you mints or hard candy. This is like just a great thing to have on hand in general. If you're a person who runs more anxious and you also feel like you disconnect with yourself when you are very anxious, because it brings you back into your body and it gives you something to focus on. And so having like Sour Patch Kids or some mints or like a sour, I'm trying to think of what those sour candies are called, but I can't think of them offhand. Lemon drops.
Well, like
whatever.
The Warheads.
Yeah. They like snap you right back in. So like a strong mint, something like that. And it helps you be in your body so you don't feel like you're very disconnected from yourself. I think little tools that you can use that some people get worried, I think, too, about, you know, how am I going to be perceived if I'm trying to regulate myself while I'm in this crowded area? Is somebody going to be looking at me? I mean, something just as simple as like just kind of squeezing your arms or squeezing your legs or going through and giving yourself a little deep pressure. A deep pressure like self-massage, self-hug is a really easy way to kind of regulate yourself in a way that, one, is not noticeable, because if you're in the airport, you're likely going to be cold anyway. And so people are, and to be honest, people are so worried about getting to their own destination, they're not going to be paying attention to you if you are doing these things. So yeah, doing with the deep pressure hug on yourself, getting up and taking some stretch breaks, or just reminding yourself that, you know, it's safe. I'm going to have a good time. The pilot, if you're fearful of flying, like the pilot wants to get there safe too, right? Like that's their main goal, is to get everybody to their destination in a safe way. And so if you have a grounding or a cleansing ritual that you like to do before you leave the house, I love to give myself a little selenite wand swipe before I leave the house. And when you get to your destination, when you get settled in, just kind of reconnect with yourself in a minute and for a minute, and whether it's quickly taking a shower to rinse off like all of the energy you've picked up on, or just reconnecting with yourself, like I'm safe, I'm here, I'm ready to enjoy my experience. But just these little ways that you can kind of check in with yourself, simple stretches like a figure four stretch if you're seated in, you know, your terminal waiting. Or if you're on a road trip, taking stretch breaks so that you can release that physical tension in your body will help you feel more relaxed.
Yeah, awesome. And so it really seems like your tips are about coming back into your body, out of your anxious mind and into your body. And would you say that's the gist of what somatic therapy really is all about, like feeling what's happening within your body?
Yeah, it's feeling and processing the things that are happening. Because otherwise, you're going to be ruminating on all of the things that are happening around you. And instead of focusing on, I mean, yes, it's great to be, you know, I'm a planner too. I think just like as a person who runs a little anxious, like I like to plan for A, B, and a C experience, or have an A, B, and a C plan. But when you're only focused in on your mind, the body starts to retain all of that anxiety, and that shows up in muscle knots in your back, tension in your hips, clenching your fists without realizing it, clenching your jaw, grinding your teeth, all of these things. And when you can physically just, it's metabolizing your stress, you're thinking about it, you're aware that you're taking it on, but then you need to process that through releasing your body, whether it's a simple stretch, whether it's squeezing yourself, whether it's hugging yourself, your body needs a way to metabolize it. Otherwise, you're going to be hanging on to it and getting to your destination feeling tight and stressed. And that's not, you know, you want to enjoy your travels.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. And so with traveling with families, that's an additional layer of logistics and dealing with just other little humans' emotions, and they're taking on the same amount of stress that we're taking on while we're traveling. They're feeling that too. Let's say you have a kid who's just running around like crazy at the airport and they can't seem to calm down, or they're very volatile, their mood swinging, and you can't seem to figure it. What's something, like, one, what's going on in their little brains? And then two, what's something as a parent we can do to help regulate those emotions that they're kind of going through at that time?
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with preparing them before leaving the house and giving them the expectations of, like, this is what we can do in the airport. This is what we can't do in the airport. This is what we can expect. This is what might happen. And obviously, like, tailoring that to your child's age, depending on how old they are. I know that, like, when my son was a baby, I would just narrate everything that was going on when we were in the airport and just telling him and preparing. I also think running around the airport, maybe I'll get, like, pushback for this, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because you kind of want them to release some of that energy. And so if you can turn it into a game to where they are, one, being aware of their surroundings, because you don't want them to get hurt and you don't want them to, like, hurt anyone else while they're in the airport. But making it into a game to where you're leading them into stretching or getting in some, like, you know, we have waited outside a gate and done jumping jacks and push-ups and, like, things like that. If you could turn it into a game or something fun, again, the deep pressure squeezes, that's something, if your child is someone who likes that sensory input, it's a way for you both to physically connect, because connection has to precede regulation. You have to connect with the person you're trying to help co-regulate before you can help them regulate. So making that connection and then modeling the ways that you are regulating yourself, whether it's deep breathing, whether it is stretching. But I think anytime it comes back to, like, the playful parenting, to make it into a game, you know, there's, like, the grounding exercise of, like, seeing five things you can see, four things you can hear. And then you go, like, the airport's a perfect place to play that game, and it becomes really fun. So if you can get them focused on something other than chaos, it becomes really helpful. But first is making that connection, modeling, and then finding a way that's going to work for them. So turning something into a game, letting them get that energy out. And I mean, I think also lowering your expectations about what it's going to look like. I think we all have plans, but kids are going to be loud. They're going to have reactions because they don't necessarily have the words or the developmental capacity to process what a chaotic environment an airport is. Because from an adult, we know, like, the procedure and what's going on and, like, kind of how to tone things out, or we're just used to it. But they're taking in so much information. I just think as parents, it's so stressful, right? When you're like, my baby's crying on the plane, I'm worried about it. It's one of those things.
Yeah, 100%. And people are, at least in my experience, a lot more, not forgiving, but they're just a lot more, if it's not their kid crying, for the most part, they don't get it. They're like, I've had people come up to me and be like, you're doing great. And my baby was crying for, like, 4 hours straight. They're like, you did a great job. I'm like, I know you're lying, but thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the support. So it sounds like to me, the same techniques that you would use for yourself in terms of that sensory input and coming into your body and allowing yourself to release that charge, you're doing the same thing to help your child do the exact same thing. We all need that sensory input, or we all need to be able to release a bit of that charge that gets pent up in the body. I am all for airports that have, you know, soft play playgrounds or just areas that kids can just kind of run around and be kids and let some of that energy out. And so I always tell parents, research beforehand. If you're going to have a 4-hour layover in an airport, see which terminal has the playground, because I promise you, most major airports have child areas now. Just do a little bit of research ahead of time. Where can my child play? How long, like you said, even just like walking or doing a green light, red light game, green light, run, red light, stop. And yeah, you might run into a few people, but That's okay. It is what it is. So yeah, I really appreciate those. And again, like you mentioned, you have to create that connection before you can help co-regulate. And before you can create connection, you yourself have to be regulated. So it's really, yeah. it's a you first job. You have to make mm-hmm. sure that you're being the calm leader of your family unit while you're moving through this chaotic environment that is an airport or a terminal or even just boarding the flight. So I really do appreciate all of that. Yeah. Do you have any last tips to share with anyone about traveling or micro adventures or playful parenting, anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, just embrace play. If you feel like you have been in a season of life where, you know, you're doing the journaling, you're doing the meditating, you're doing the things, and you either feel stagnant or you aren't looking forward to spending that time with yourself, like, how can you incorporate more adventure into your day to day? How can you find one thing? What was like a favorite game or toy that you enjoyed as a kid? How can you bring that in now? Like, there's no rules against a 39-year-old buying a Lego set or puzzle or painting a picture or getting roller skates. Like, find little ways to nourish that side of you, and you are going to see yourself flourish. You're going to see your family flourish. And I just love watching people like embrace that side of them.
Yeah, that's so fun. Just, yeah, embracing the play and allowing mm-hmm. yourself to be curious about what kind of fun you can get up to. And something you mentioned before was at the beginning of this was you feel like you've done the healing and you're doing the work. So play can feel really hard. And something we talk a lot about on retreats with our guests is healing can be fun. Of course, there might be some parts that feel really painful or parts that feel really tough to or challenging to navigate, but healing can be fun. And in fact, the other side of doing a lot of that work is embracing the fun and embracing the play without the guilt. So I love the whole concept of, yeah, bringing more play, more joy, more adventure into your day-to-day life. And that helps you kind of set the tone of embracing that play when you are in an airport or you are on a road trip or you are on a micro adventure with your child. So I think it's a lot of really awesome tips and advice for parents and just people alike. I think not just parents, more people need to be more playful and less serious. Like, it's life. Like, we've chosen this life. Let's have fun and enjoy the ride while we're on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd love for people to be able to connect with you online. I know you have a lot of different offerings, and I know you have the journal as well. So I'd love for you to be able to share how people can connect with you.
Yeah. So I'm at That Vibrant Mama on Instagram and TikTok. I've been a lot more active on Instagram lately. And then, yeah, like you said, I have a journal that's available on Amazon, but you can find that link in my Instagram or on my TikTok. And it is a journal I took a program that I created a couple of years ago and distilled it down into a journal. And it is really about reconnecting to your identity and yourself in as you recover from postpartum depression. So, and play is definitely integrated into all of that work. So if you're looking for an extra support, then that is the best way to connect with me right now.
Amazing. I'll make sure to include that in the show notes as well so everyone can go check it out. Okay, so I always end these episodes with rapid fire questions about travel. So I'd love to see what comes up. So number one is, if you could only go back to one country or one place, where would it be and why?
I think I'm going to say Thailand because it wasn't the first time I solo traveled. It just shifted everything for me. And I feel like there was so much I didn't get to explore while I was there. And then, yeah, my life like pivoted 180 when I got home. It was just such a cool experience. So I think Thailand.
Yeah, Thailand will do that for you. It's kind of a little bit of a portal.
Yeah.
And it's just so different. It just opens up your mind in so many ways. So number two is, what's next on your bucket list?
Ooh, Italy for sure. I mean, if we're talking travel destinations, I think that is like my number one focused on making that happen in the next couple of years. And I think becoming a family that is able to take the whole summer off so we can really like dive into some local adventures too.
Yeah, that is for sure the dream. I know for sure for a lot of families that live here in South Florida, everyone's like, I'm leaving. We can't do summer here anymore. It's so hot.
Yes.
So everyone's trying to figure out a way to become a we leave for the summer family. I love that.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of our goals too. All right. Number three is, what's the biggest life lesson you've learned while traveling?
There's so much out there. And you don't need to wait for other people to be ready to meet you where you're at, because you could just go out and have adventures. I think that was like my first big solo travel trip really opened my eyes to that. Like, other people aren't always going to be on the same path as you. And that's okay, because if you forge out on your own, you're going to find people who are like-minded. And there's just so much to see in the world.
I love that.
So much.
Yeah. You don't have to wait for someone to go with you. You can be your own travel buddy, and you'll meet amazing people along the way. Okay. Yeah. And the very last one, number four, is, I guess this kind of leans into this, but what would be your piece of advice to a beginner traveler who has not yet been out there in the world, or who's nervous or doesn't quite know what to do or where to go? What would you say to them?
I mean, I would say find other people who have more experience traveling than you and connect with them about their experience, because it always helps to see that other people have kind of done what you want to do. But I also think, I mean, take the leap, research how safe those places are that you're going to travel, and feel like if it's, you could start with you could start with a micro adventure and go away for a weekend to, you know, a few hours away from where you're at. But really, there's so much you can gain from traveling by yourself, that you learn about yourself, that you learn about the world around you, and that you learn about other people you'll meet. Like, you'll meet some of the most fascinating people while you're out traveling. So don't wait until you feel ready, because you're never going to feel ready to take a solo travel trip. But if you can hear from other people's experiences, just take the leap.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Carly, for joining today. I had so much fun talking to you. I think our listeners are going to get so much out of the emotional regulation tips and embracing play. I, for one, I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick up my daughter from school today and I'm going to go do something really fun with her. So I appreciate the gentle and loving encouragement to get out there and embrace joy. And I will definitely talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Transform with Travel podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of inspiration, adventure, and exploration. If you felt inspired by this episode, please rate and review in whatever streaming app you're listening from. This allows us to spread the word even more and continue to serve up weekly doses of adventure. As always, we'd love if you could share the episode with someone in your life who you think will benefit from this conversation. Thanks so much for listening. This is your reminder to get out there and keep on exploring.